Yo, yo, what is going on, you guys? It is your girl here, Simply T, Doubly Poetry, daughter of the late, great James, and of the living and giving Lisa L. And welcome to another episode of the Paradigm Shift Combo, a show created to spark interest and conversation on societal norms, and in most cases, challenges relevance and agenda. The idea of shifting the paradigm is considered rebellious or brash, but in the spoken word open mic communities in which I dwell, this disruption is not only common, but required. Hi, I'm Simply T Poetry, a combat veteran stumbling back into civilian life with a probationary opinion and a handcuffed tongue, excited to freely speak about whatever the hell I want. This is a Paradigm Shift Combo. Yo, yo, you guys, what is going on? It's your girl here, Simply T Doubly Poetry, and I have a special thing, you guys, today. You know, it's the holidays, and I just want to talk to you guys about shifting the paradigm on a totally different situation and something we don't always talk about, but I felt like needed to be said. So who I have on the line with me today is an old friend, that one of the first people I met when I came into the military. And I'm going to give you guys the best rendition of how I recall our meeting. And it started at Killeen, Texas, at a bookstore called Under One Roof. And this is where I started doing poetry. This is where I truly started my poetry career. And it was just a small group of poets, and we just should come together every single Friday and just spit poems and spit from our hearts. And it was just a real cool group of people, and we used to teach and learn different things all through poems. And my friend Kim, she was a quiet assassin in the back. She never got up too often, but when she got up, she always had something to say. And I found her super intriguing. And one of the things that she told me one time, it really stuck to me, because I grew up in a place where I was just kind of sheltered from a lot of things. And she kind of brought my culture, honestly, to light for me in a special way. And one of the things that she did for me, because they were having a conversation, all of the poets were a little older than me, but they were having a conversation about these old black movies like Dolemite and The Warriors and The Wiz. And I was like, I ain't never seen any of those things. And she could not believe it. Stop, hold up, stop the presses. So she started having a movie night just for me. And all the poets would come over and we would sit down and we would watch movies, and we would stop the movie and we would talk about the depth inside of a scene or a situation or even a conversation that was happening inside of the movie. And it was probably one of the most dynamic, intimate things anybody has ever done for me educationally. And it was dope, and I'll never, ever, ever forget it. And she brought to light and made me want to know more about me and where I came from and the things that was me. Because to be very honest, I grew up in a place where like my history and my mind started with slavery. And she was the first person to say, that's not where it started. So you guys, she's super dynamic, dynamite, beautiful, beautiful spirit, so much to offer. But I want you guys to be introduced to my friend, Miss Kimberly Robinson. Thank you so much for being on the show, Kim.
Thank you for having me. Infinite blessings to everyone.
Thank you. So I want you to just go in a little bit and just talk to us about kind of like your background, because I don't, like, obviously I know how I'm kind of like ignorant to it, but I don't know how you kind of like just started pushing towards just getting into the culture and, more importantly, educating others about it, because you're very passionate about that.
Yeah, well, first of all, I had totally forgotten how we started those movie nights, so thank you for the history lesson. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's how we started it? Well, you know. how my background is that just a regular sister was, you know, I'm Texas born and Oklahoma raised, was born in Oklahoma City. Had a, you know, normal upbringing like everybody else, except I was the only black child in school, me and my brother. You know, so that dynamic growing up black in a white world at such a young age had a profound impact on me. And it wasn't lost upon me even as a young child, because I began to notice things at an early age that just didn't quite fit, you know. Grew up in a Christian household. We were, you know, Baptist, you know, Christians, you know.
Right.
And grew up in that household and went to a white church. My family sent us to a white church, you know. And
oh, wow.
Went to one of those white Southern Baptist churches and stuff where I was, you know, growing up with my parents and stuff. But then as I was younger and kind of like before my brother was born, I would have the summers at my grandparents in Houston. So I got to experience being in a all-black neighborhood, black church, black life.
Right.
So I would see the dynamic between the two. And, you know, so again, as a young child, and, you know, your mind, you question a lot, you know. And so I questioned within myself, because back then you didn't question adults. Whatever they told you, that was it.
Mm.
And, you know, you better not question grandma or Jesus.
Right.
And so,
right.
kind of putting those things in the back of my mind. And as I grew, you know, my parents did the best for me and everything like that. I had a younger brother, which, you know, I was always looking out for and getting in trouble for. And at the age of 13, you know, something, you know, just kind of clicked. And I began, you know, researching on my own, because I liked mythology.
Hmm.
So only thing available at that time, and I'm 47, by the way, so just to give you a good time frame, you know, how long this is supposed to be. So I began, you know, going to the library.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the phrase that anything you want to keep for black folks, you know,
put it
in a book, right?
Right?
Well, they keep it in the library, and even in elementary library.
Wow.
So I just began reading. You know, my love for reading came from my grandmother, you know, that said, you know, if I didn't have anything else better to do, then go in there and get a book and sit down and read. Even
right.
when I couldn't read, she had me look at books. So, I began reading and researching on my own at the age of 13. So the light turned on at the age of 13.
Wow.
To want to know more about who I am. And that just kind of grew into, from, you know, elementary school into junior high, where, you know, I get formally introduced into black culture, because I had been kind of separated from it in my elementary school years. So this is where I finally get black friends, because I had white friends coming up.
Right.
You know. And, you know, once the white friendship fell apart, because my daddy told me it would, when I get, he said, one day they're going to call you a nigga, and
wow.
you're going to, everything is going to change.
Right.
And remember one day, my white friend, I'm talking about, we grew up together, spent the night over each other's house, called me a nigga.
Wow.
And I went in the house crying, and my older sister at the time says, you know what, you need to go out there and whoop a butt, or I'll whoop your butt, you know. She's dead, like, what you gonna do? So I went out there, and I fought her, and I whooped a butt, and that was the end of that. And that was age of 12.
Right.
You know.
The dynamic
so
changes so quick.
Into, you know, these small little initiations start happening, you know.
Ooh.
So you get initiated into, you know, consciousness.
Right.
Now you're conscious that you're black now. Your
right.
father told you, and he didn't believe you. You didn't believe him.
Right.
So then I get to have black friends, and I had to learn what it was to be black. I did not know. I knew I was, but I didn't know what it was to be. And so having black friends and just kind of getting initiated into consciousness on a level that there was nobody guiding me. Nobody said, hey, this is who you are, really. You know what I'm saying? It was just kind of interesting how things just kind of fell into place. And in junior high, I started, you know, reading more, and in the library, and found a book about Africa, and started to look and read the pictures. And one of the pictures in there struck me. She was a really, I think it's just the picture. She was from the Sudan. She's really dark. You know, I'm talking about blue black, beautiful.
Right, right.
She had on this. I remember it was either red or orange, like headscarf that was on. And I remember looking at that, and it was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And at the age of 13 and stuff like that, and getting older, so I was just like, man, you know, I want to know what that is. It was just calling me. And then from there, it was just almost like a spiritual calling from, you know, like the ancestors was guiding me. Like, there was nobody physical that was guiding me into this. So, you know, from there, it just, you know, I was just different from everybody else. You know, I had a sense of consciousness of who I was as a black woman and was growing and developing in that knowledge. And there were just no females like me, no black women like me. They was in church.
Right.
You know, and even I had to come out of the church. I walked out of the church at 25 years of age. Just walked right on out during service, during the preacher's preaching. You know, you don't do that. That's like one of them no-nos. I just got out and walked out. Because
you didn't put your finger up. Did you put your finger up when you walked out? Because that's important in the black church.
Yeah,
you got to put up. Just, you gotta put
your finger up. Yeah, I got up and walked out, and I didn't turn back because it was just like someone saying, this is not it. You know the truth, and this is not it. And, you know, from there, it's just been a growth and development of me, you know, consciously as an African woman. And later on, you know, spiritually, you know, because, again, your conscious awakening, you know, is different from your spiritual awakening. So I'm still developing and growing, you know. By no means do I know everything. You know, the answers that I have today about certain things will definitely probably change tomorrow, depending on the information that I, you know, receive and stuff.
Right.
But, I mean, this carried on through. I was in the military, you know,
for
27 years. I'm, yeah, a retired military veteran. And, you know, just, you know, it's a very hard challenge to hold on to your convictions and everything in an environment that's designed to attack you like that, you know.
Right.
Because in the military, you know, they want, the first thing that they grab a hold of your mind. That's what basic training is, to break down whatever it is that you thought you knew and then plant what they want you to know. You know, but through all of that, I had to hold on to my sanity in that, you know, and only allow a little bit of indoctrination in for discipline purposes in the military. Just a little bit, and the rest, I just, for something just was not sticking with, you know, with me, you know.
Right.
And, you know, I carry, you know, my, you know, my African consciousness, you know, RBG, you know, I was a pan-Africanist and, you know, Afrocentric, you know, throughout my military career and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm still am in some sense, but, you know, there's a paradigm shift where,
hey,
you know, you're not so, you know, I would say so diehard.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can become a little hard in it and stuff, and I was there. And then, you know, you start to mature and you start to see things in a different perspective while holding on to who you are as an African woman and everything. It is, you know, it's carried me on to the present day. And, you know, again, I'm, you know, still learning and finding out who I am on a spiritual level now. I know who I am on an African level, you know, but on a spiritual level, you know, just kind of elevating and vibrating on a higher frequency on that. So
nice.
I mean, that's it in a nutshell. This to talk about my whole story would take more than an hour that we got.
Oh, we know. You done put out the age and everything, and it started when you were young, so we could be here on that alone. And I do want to get more into things that are youth, because I feel like it is going to, you know, it does bound us forward into the conversations that we're soon to talk about. So you guys, I want you to stay tuned, because even though Miss Kim is not an expert, she does have a lot of knowledge, and we're going to get more in depth to it, and we're going to talk about this walking out of the church. We're going to take a short break. Y'all stay tuned to the Paradigm Shift Convo.
Yeah. I never knew a la like this. Gotta be something for me to write this. Queen, I ain't seen you in a minute. Wrote this letter and finally decided to send it. Signed, sealed, delivered for us to grow together. Love has no limit, let's spin a slow forever. I know your heart is weathered by what studs did to you. I ain't gon' start them cause I probably did it too. Because of you feelings I handle with care. Some recognize the light but they can't handle the glare. You know I ain't the type to walk around with matching shirts. A relationship is effort. I will match your work. I wanna be the one to make you happiest and hurt you the most. They say the end is near. It's important that we close to the most high. Regardless of what happened on him, let's rely.
There are times when you need someone.
Yeah. Second, it's important we communicate and tune the fate of this union to the right pitch. I never call you my to even my boo. It's so much in the name and so much more in you. Few understand the union of woman and man. It's sex and a tingle is where they assuming it land. But that's fly by night for you in the sky right. During these cold shy nights, moon, you my light. If heaven had a height, you would be that tall. Ghetto to coffee shop, I see that all. Let's stick to understanding and we won't fall. For better or worse times, I hope to me you call. So I pray every day more than anything. Friends will stay as we begin to lay this foundation for a family. Love ain't simple. Why can't it be anything worth having you work at annually? Granted, we've known each other for some time. It don't take a whole day to recognize sunshine.
And we are back at the Paradigm Shift Convo, where I'm speaking to Miss Kimberly Robinson. And we are just breaking down all things that are African, conscious, spiritual. But more importantly, it is the holidays, and Kim brought up a very interesting conversation about how she kind of walked out of the church. And I found that to be very interesting, especially coming up on the holidays and Christmas, and how important that is in the Black culture, just to be very honest. My grandmother used to say, y'all some CMEs, like we only go to church on Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. So Christmas is huge in the culture. If you don't never go to church, you got to go for Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. So one of the things that we're going to talk about is Christmas. And I've definitely in recent years had some questions concerning things that go around Christmas and Christ. And it's been difficult because I had a friend and she would say she don't talk to people about religion, politics, or sports. She says she don't talk to fans about sports because people are so rooted in their beliefs that you just can't have a conversation because the logic is lost when you talk about those things to certain people. And so I feel like for me, kind of like how you brought up earlier, Kim, where it's like, I grew up in a household where you just don't question certain things. And it wasn't, despite the questions I might have had, it was just things that you didn't question. And I remember my dad, he grew up in a church. He used to play drums, like he grew up. But it was questions that he had that kind of like stopped him from going because nobody answered his questions. And one of his biggest questions that concerned me, he was like, if God is almighty, all-powerful, and he wants everything for you, he was like, there's nothing that my child could ever do that would make me damn them to hell. You know, and that was like real for me.
Right.
And he was like, that was hard for him to swallow. And he was like, he got children. He was like, ain't nothing in the world they could ever do to be like, you're going to be in a fiery, you know, furnace for the rest of your life.
Right.
You know, and it was just like, wow, that was powerful. So, and although that was his thought, it didn't stop me from going to church every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I was definitely in there. But it was just, you know, one of those things. So I never got to question, but I wasn't in a position to not go either. And now, you know, now it's like I do have those questions. And thank God, like Kim said, like we're in a Googleable age. We don't have to pull out the Britannicas or the Dewey Decimal System anymore. These things are at our fingertips. And I know that when it comes to Christmas and some people aren't full of, you know, like even some Christians have fallen back on, you know, the Santa thing so much, but we're still very in tune to Christ being born on Christmas. And it's definitely his birthday.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I'm just like, but is it though? Like, you know, like, and you talked about, you know, being a fan of mythology, and with that comes astrology. And what I've learned about that is, what astrology has taught me is that those things that the Bible talks about isn't the same time that Christ would have been born anyway. Like, it, you know, like the things that were in the sky, they don't add up to it being Christmas time. It doesn't add up to December, you know, and it was just things like that. So I wanted you to kind of like come in and I don't want to say dispel or debunk, but kind of just like put into perspective logically versus, you know, belief. And I'm not trying to debunk anybody's belief, but I do want to bring forward just some logic behind what we have understood to be Christmas.
Absolutely. You know, because, you know, to understand Christmas, you still got to understand history, you know. And
right.
So, you know, there's history that just isn't taught, you know, to you in the schools, because, again, the schools are there to indoctrinate you, not really teach you. They indoctrinate you in all of these holidays at a young age, you know. So you kind of have to go back into history. So when we're talking about, you know, Christmas and Christ and Jesus Christ, you know, nobody really knows. People know about what they know in church and stuff like that, and I call that the mythical Christ.
Right.
Okay? But they don't know where that comes from, and they think Jesus Christ is a person. But in reality, it's not. You know, the Christ is a concept, not a person. Jesus, the name Jesus is Greek, and put together from Zeus and, you know, the god Zeus, you know, the Greek god Zeus and the Roman god Jupiter. But if you want to go back even further than that, you go back to the Council of Nicaea. And
yes.
They had several councils of Nicaea back during the time of the King Constantine, the Emperor Constantine.
Right, the Roman Emperor Constantine. I know that. I know that, and I know about the.
Yeah, the councils of Nicaea.
Yeah, I know about those.
He brought together all the bishops and all the religious leaders of the known world at the time, because he wanted to conquer his own world under one banner. How you got to conquer different people and all these different tribes of people. And if they don't have a religion to follow, right?
Right.
So the folks that are, you know, they were practicing their indigenous religions, you know, he got together with all these bishops, and they conspired and brought together, they changed different concepts from different what we call pagan religions into, you know, Jesus Christ, you know, Mary, the Virgin Mary, and you know, that Holy Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all of those are, you know, those are concepts. And that concept goes all the way back to ancient Kemet, what we call Egypt. You know, going to, you know, the Virgin Mary is Isis, of course. You know, the Son is Horus. Yes. And the Father is, you know, Osiris. You know, and the Holy Ghost is, that is also Isis as well, you know. And it gets back into the Arthurian drama in that story about how the King Osiris was killed by his brother Set, and his body was, you know, dismembered into 14 pieces and thrown into a river. And when Isis found out, she tried to find the body parts of her king, and she put them all back together, but she couldn't find the phallus. She couldn't find that. So what she did is she fashioned a phallus out of clay and turned herself into a bird and went above the body of Osiris, which she had put back together. And there was an immaculate conception, and then Horus, the Holy Son, was born out of that.
Right. So let's stop there, because I think that's important. So I want because a lot of people don't know the story, right? And this is an Egyptian story.
Right.
And what is known about this story, and this is something to be said, is that you've mentioned three characters, Osiris, Isis, and Horus.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it's Osiris is like God, generally, like the father, and Isis was right. This female that basically just got pregnant.
She's the Holy Mother.
Right, yeah. Right, because she mm-hmm. got pregnant, immaculate conception situation. And then mm-hmm. she had, and Horus is who?
Horus is the son, is born out of that.
Right.
That,
so,
that immaculate conception.
Right, and Horus is the son.
But the S-U-N son, you know, so this, you know, it's all allegory. And it has meaning.
Right, with the whole sunset thing, like it gets so mm-hmm. interesting. I know. Okay, so I just want to bring those three things forward because okay. I feel like this is what people don't know is you can talk about there's so many religions that follow this piece right here. This Trinity, this number three. And it's not just Christianity. mm-hmm. There's like I don't remember all of the religions, but I know like a lot of religions follow the Trinity thought.
Right. This is not a concept that is relegated to Christianity.
Right.
These are concepts that go outside of Christianity. Christianity, it's one of the older, I would say, you know, Judeo-Christian religions. It's older than, you know, but the concept of Christianity goes back further than what we know about Christianity today. It's an ancient concept. And it's practiced in almost, it's known in almost every religion. You know, you're going to have a holy mother, a holy father, you know, a son that was born out of this immaculate conception. There's a book that's called 16 Crucified Saviors. And it'll let you know that, you know, Jesus, the Christ, was not this only, you know, quote-unquote savior that was crucified.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, you have all of these, you know, these savior gods, if you will, that have been crucified, you know, or sacrificed themselves, you know, for the greater good of humanity or, you know. So this is not a Christian concept, in which most Christians believe that, you know, that their religion is the true religion. There is no true religion. You know, the true, anything, truth is going to come from within. It's not going to come outside of you. You know, so this is, you know, again, this is all, again, how Constantine had formulated this new world religion, if you will, and he brought it to the world that he was conquering by the sword. If you didn't want to convert, you died.
Mm.
And the same thing, you know, with Islam, same thing. If you didn't convert, you died. You know, so, you know, most of, you know, what we, I'll just use the word pagan so everybody can understand. Most of, you know, the pagan people, rather, you know, they like to have breath. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and convert, you know, to this new religion
right.
and forsake my own.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And I that was huge, too, because I know that one of the things that came out of that Council of Nicaea that they spoke about was kind of how one of the ways that Christians, quote, Christians, had God on was because it was like they had the sun god in the Rome in
right.
Rome, and you know, we had the Son of God in the Christian world, and it was like the sun god, son of God, sure, whatever you want it to be, come on over, kind of
right.
thing. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? And it was just like because it all was relatively all relevant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was simple to converge the two thoughts because they weren't far from each other in concepts.
Right.
At least.
Right. Yeah. So they, you know, so when the early people saw that, you know, in this new religion, they saw concepts that were familiar to them, it was easy to convert them.
Right. Right, right, right. Yeah,
you
so
know,
that, that's...
Oh, we have that too. It can't be all this bad. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I feel like that is kind of like the basis of, you know, how I feel we as Christians don't understand it. I want to go ahead and break right here because this is super dope. I feel like we've gotten to a foundation of understanding of what the religion is even based off to begin with, you know. So we're going to go ahead and take a simple break, you guys, and we're going to be back after this musical selection and talk more with Miss Kim about Christianity and those things that are not.
This you can bear. You sleep right beside me, yeah. And I won't forget. And I really love you. You should know. I wanna make sure I'm right, boy. Before I let go. Now we had a good time that we can say. We heard in each other, yeah. And boy, it's a shame. I won't be foolish, no.
Volunteering to help people in need is a noble gesture. Volunteering to lay down your life for your country is a sacrifice that can never be repaid. In an effort to keep my fellow veterans connected to society and each other, this is VetNet.
Veterans, have you ever been interested in information technology, cybersecurity, or even hacking? Well, the Federal Virtual Training Environment, FedVTE, is a free online, on-demand cybersecurity training system that is available at no charge. Managed by the Department of Homeland Security, FedVTE contains more than 800 hours of training on topics such as ethical hacking and surveillance, risk management, and malware analysis. Course proficiency ranges from beginner to advanced levels. Several courses align with a variety of IT certifications, such as Network Plus, Security Plus, and the Certified Information Systems Security Professional, that certification that I am after, you guys. As the technology advances, the United States must continue to develop a workforce of effective cybersecurity professionals. And who more qualified to be these professionals than veterans? The substantial investment made by these programs like this help veterans like us find the education and training needed to advance our careers and close the skill gaps in the cybersecurity workforce. To know more about the FedVTE program, all you have to do is log on to FedVTE, Fed like the first three letters of federal, VTE, Victor Tango Echo, .US Learning, that's United States Army, learning as in that thing you did in school, .gov, that's fedvte.usalearning.gov. Thank you, FedVTE, for continuing to put veterans and their families first. Veterans, let's stay connected.
Yo, yo, you guys, we are back with my friend, mentor, loved one, special, special guest. This is Kimberly Robinson. And we have just been talking about all things that are the religion that we know to be Christmas, Christianity, and kind of where it all comes from.
Christ, well, Christ, when you get into Christ, it goes all the way back into, again, ancient Kemet, with the term, you know, caressed. And, you know, what people really fail to know, and it's not what they fail to know. Some people just doesn't know because this information is just not out, you know. There was a Christ, a female Christ, okay, back in before pre-Christianity and what we call, you know, the Gnostics.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was Charis, spelled C-H-A-R-I-S. And she was the female Christ of the Gnostics. And I'm going to give you just a little brief information on her. And it says, whose natural blood of ministration was held to redeem mankind. Gerald Massey has written about her. He was a historian that back in the 1800s that was writing about this stuff. And Massey says, the blood of Charis preceded the blood of Christ, what we call Jesus the Christ, right? Mm-hmm. And but for the purification by the blood of Charis, there would have been no doctrine of the purification of souls by the blood of Christ. The Eucharist was a celebration of Charis before it was assigned to the Christ. These experiences are clearly continuous with the Pentecostal inspiration, and thus the Gnostic Marcus said, behold, Charis has descended upon thee. Open thy mouth in prophecy, and open thy mouth, and thou shalt prophesy. You know, so she, this goes back to a female Christ, and that this is the Black Virgin. You know, when you see the Black Virgin in pictures and stuff like that, and she is also represented by, you know, Lilith, going back into those powerful female, you know, deities and stuff like that. Right. So, menstrual blood in spiritual and occult practices is a very powerful, you know, thing. It's the most powerful thing. When a woman is menstruating, she's at her most powerful moment in time. And, you know, in some, you know, practices, you know, people can use their menstrual blood to do, you know, people in voodoo and stuff, people, you know, you hear about don't eat no spaghetti because if the woman put her menstrual blood in it,
yo,
you know,
I know people who live by that.
Yeah, you know, you understand, but that's the power in the blood. Now you understand?
Yes, interesting. Very interesting.
You know, there's a song, there is power, power, power in the blood.
Yeah, I know that song.
That's the blood.
Right. Wow. That's powerful. That's interesting. That
so,
is.
So you know a lot. Yeah, you know, what we call the Christ and everything. And Christ is just a title. It just means anointed one.
Right. Okay.
It is not a name. Yeah. It just means anointed. Yeah. You know. So Charis, you know, was the Christ to the Gnostics. And this is pre-Christianity. This is pre what we know as Christianity. And if we get into, like, you know, the talk about, well, how was Jesus a Christian? He wasn't a Christian. He was supposed to be Jewish.
Right. He was Jewish.
And that, you know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? According to, you know, Christian folklore and Jewish folklore and all that kind of stuff. Well, even the Jews, they don't even believe in Jesus the Christ. They don't even believe he was the Messiah.
Right.
So, you know, but, you know, again, over time and the indoctrination of, you know, the Christian religion, this is what we have today. You know, and yes, Catholics are Christians, y'all. So you get into Catholicism, and you see how they worship in that religion. And you see all this, when I look at all the saints, I see different gods.
Right.
You know, no different from, you know, angels and all that kind of stuff and everything. And then, you know, Mary is, she's worshipped as the Holy Mother. She is a god.
Yeah, but I feel like that was some things, I feel like some of those things were kind of like things that had been, that kind of came out of the Council of Nicaea because of what the Christians believed. They were like, well, y'all can't have all these gods. And it was like, no, they're saints, they're not gods. You know what I mean? And that was kind of like one of those compromising things, you know, to get everybody on board to one thing. And then, I mean, obviously the same thing with the Virgin Mary, because despite that, Catholicism and what Christians believe is definitely separate when it comes to the Virgin Mary. But interestingly enough, we're all the same religion. It's really weird, but I think what people need to understand and what you kind of are bringing to the forefront is that despite the fact that we have, you know, like they're Christians, or technically Christians might be Catholics. Yeah. It kind of just depends on how you look at it, because technically, you know, Constantine was Catholic. And he kind of made it happen.
When you get into Catholicism, right? Catholicism, if you want to see something that's closest to Gnosticism, you know, Catholicism is the closest thing you're going to get into a little Gnosticism, because what you see on the surface is kind of an illusion. You know, and you can get into talk about the Catholic Church and the Vatican and everything like that. But they are essentially the priesthood as far as Christians, they are the priesthood. You know, and, you know, the Jewish people, they have a priesthood too, but they are, as far as Christians, they are the priesthood. And they hold this ancient sacred knowledge, but they give you something in front, right, while they practice the true gnosis behind those walls.
Right.
You know, but they front this story out in front of you as a control mechanism. Okay, when you keep people kind of locked down in spiritual prison, then they're not going to question anything.
No, absolutely
not. Because they're going to think it's the word of God. And if I question it, then I'm going against God. And I don't want to damn my immortal soul. So people are just pretty much automatons to this. But true spirituality has no doctrine. It has no dogma. There is no really priesthood that says you have to do this, you have to do that. There are priesthoods. But, you know, true spirituality, you become the priest. You become the priestess. And the temple is you. You know, so when you're getting into Christmas, you know, it's just Christ Mass. You know, and then it gets back into Catholicism again, you know.
Right.
The celebration of, you know, really is supposed to be the celebration of the rise in Christ in you. This is what this whole Christmas thing is supposed to be. The risen Christ is the ascension of your consciousness from a lower state to a higher state.
Nice.
That's what it's supposed to be having. It's not about Santa Claus and giving presents and all of these different traditions that we have within the Christmas celebration that everybody celebrates. It comes from different, you know, different cultures. They just incorporated it into Christmas and made it so people recognize, I recognize giving presents to children. I recognize, you know, let's put St. Nicholas up in there, you know, from, you know, Nordic tradition. Let's throw him up in there. You know, because he would give presents to children, and you know, and then you get this Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff. Saint Nick,
right?
You know, old Saint Nick. Yeah, Saint Nicholas was actually a real person that lived. So.
Right. I think that's
but,
dope.
You know, again, they, yeah.
That you brought that up because I want to, because I feel like you just like wrapped up the entire conversation in just that one thing, like what Christmas is truly supposed to be, and it's a arise in yourself on a spiritual level. You guys, this has been such a provocative conversation because we've touched on so many things and we have not even scratched the surface on anything. And let me tell you, I could get Kim started and we'll be here all day because she's just a plethora of knowledge and passion, which I absolutely love. And if you don't got nobody on your team like I got on my team, like Kim, you better find somebody, because I'm telling you now, if you won't have nobody that's helping you rise, you're just in a cage full of friends. So I just want to bring back a couple of things before we wrap up. And I want you to be able to kind of just give out some information you want. So some things that I want to say is that, again, by no means is this about debunking any beliefs or anything. This is just us talking about the history that does exist. Like, we're not talking from a spiritual level at all. We are just talking about history and historically these things happened. And I mean, what I love about history is it's factual. You know what I mean? So all these things, Kim's going to give y'all great resources about. So I want y'all to look them up. Make sure you look up the story of Horus, because I think it's super dope. I feel like some people rock jewelry of Isis, Horus, and don't even know what it is. Anybody rocking that eye, y'all don't even know what it's about, or the hands. Like, you know, it's just different things that mm-hmm. all are from the same situation. So I implore you to definitely start checking out some things for your oneself if you are inclined to do so after listening to this conversation. And something else is that this conversation is about Christmas, and I want to wish everybody a great Christmas anointing, passionate rising of oneself internally, in hopes that we can externally see your drivenness and your higher powers. And I want to thank my friend for being able to just share with us her time, her passions, and her anointing that she has, because it's absolutely been a pleasure for me, and I'm super excited. I'm definitely going to invite you back for Black History Month so we can talk about more consciousness and get some things popping with the people. But once before we go, you guys, this is Miss Kimberly Robinson, and I just want you to go ahead and let them know how they can get in touch with you, because more than just passion about consciousness and spirituality, she also does some things on her own. She has her own businesses as well. So I want you to be able to shout all those things out, Kim. So go ahead and let the people know about any references, resources, and how they can get in touch with you and the services that you provide.
Okay, I appreciate that, and thanks a lot. I also do spiritual readings. I am a tarot card reader, a necromancer, and that's another show probably. And I talk to the ancestors and spirits. And you can get a hold of me. I'm on Facebook and Instagram under Elemental Wisdom 72. That is ELEMENTALWISDOM 72. And you can find me on there if you would like a spiritual reading nice. Or any help with any type of spiritual counseling. I also have another business where I make, you know, crowns and unique gifts.
They're beautiful.
And then it's called
Kimberly's crowns
and unique gifts. Thank you. And you can find me on Etsy under Kimberly's Crowns, KimberlysKrowns. And unique gifts. So get a book called Mythology 101, From Gods and Goddesses to Monsters and Mortals, Your Guide to Ancient Mythology, and it's by Kathleen Sears. Get that book. It's a crash course in Greek and Roman myths. That's a good book to have to get you on that. Also, one of the most famous books in the Afrocentric movement is The Isis Papers, The Keys to the Colors, Dr. Francis Crest Welsing. Definitely get you that book. With Kwanzaa coming up, the book Kwanzaa, Celebration of Family, Community, and Culture by Maulana Karenga, the creator of Kwanzaa. Also get you this book. And again, get you the book, the 16 Crucified Saviors from Percy Graves.
So grateful. I appreciate all the work you're doing and putting in, and I want to personally give you the all shift salute, because you are shifting the paradigm, and we love that here at the Paradigm Shift Convo. So thank you so much for sharing with us. I love you. I miss you. I can't wait to connect with you again. You guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Y'all know what it is. The Paradigm Shift Convo. Back in the day, wooden soapboxes were used as platforms for orators to speak to the masses. And now, these speakers are known as slammers, spoken word artists, poets, exposing divisive culture and their souls 3 minutes at a time. And this segment is my modern day wooden platform. So listen carefully as a new artist takes the stage and I bring you today's 90 Second Soapbox.
Hello, my name is Shai Francis, that is S-H-A-I, and my poem is titled, A Mother's Love. I honestly cannot stand my mother. I truly believe she is the devil. How could you not love your child? How could you not love yourself? We needed you. I needed you. I still love you, Mommy. Even if I'm not yours anymore. I still love you, Mommy. Even if I hate you so. Even if you choose him. Do you think of me? I hope you do. I hope you cry and die inside. I hope it hurts you. But I still love you, Mommy. Even if you left us. My childhood was disenfranchised. I was deprived of a mother. I still love you, Mommy. Even if you don't love me back. I know that you used to. How could you choose him? How could you love him? I apprehend our future together. But I still love you, Mommy. Your love is cold and dark, but I still love you. Like the sun, memory of you fades. Like the moon, feelings for you gleam. In my heart, you are still pure, but in my mind, I know the truth. I no longer need you, Mom. I wish that I still did. Although I will always love you, Mommy. Forever dread my feelings toward you.
So this concludes another episode of the Paradigm Shift Convo. We are here every single Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For everything Simply Tea and to get previews to upcoming shows, visit simplyteepoetry.com. Thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. This is your girl, Simply T, Double E Poetry. Y'all know what to do. Get at me. Let go.